Welcome to the sixth and final episode of Secrets of Champions with Tony Gaddy in studio with me. We've been talking about these champions and what makes them different from other people. Now, there's a great book by Roger Martin called The Opposable Mind, which talks about how entrepreneurs think. Entrepreneurs think with an opposable mind, which relates to the concept of an opposable thumb. And in evolutionary talk, the concept of the opposable thumb was the greatest jump forward in our evolution. When we could hold something with our two fingers, with this thumb here, it meant that we could pick up something and we could create tools and use tools to evolve as a human species. And so in our mind, when we can hold two opposing thoughts, two contradictory thoughts at the same time, when something can be good and bad at the same time, it can be big and small at the same time, and we can hold that thought in our mind and be able to process that, it means that we can actually move forward in an entrepreneurial setting. So today we have our final secret. Tony, welcome.
Thank you, Alon.
What is the final secret?
The final secret of champions is a champion is stubborn about winning, but open-minded about getting there.
Okay.
And the two opposing forces are perseverance versus flexibility. And as a human being, when you're able to master both and reconcile them, integrate them into your daily repertoire, you're left with always learning.
Okay, let's go through them. The first one is
perseverance.
You said stubborn about
winning.
Stubborn about winning. Why the word stubborn?
So it's interesting that if you look at the narrative, the language of champions, they might not be clear in the beginning. And this is important because the champion mindset is a journey. You don't just become a champion. You grow into a champion.
Mm-hmm.
You're constantly committed to looking at the self and growing. So you're not always very clear about your winning, about where you want to be, but you're constantly clarifying, and you are stubborn about constantly clarifying your vision and how to get there.
Okay. So let's just go through that. So this is about perseverance, persistence. Okay. Tell me more about what that means, because we all know that, you know, champions are, they persevere through thick and thin. We know that. We see that in the movies. We hear the stories of champions. But when it comes down to, let's say, an ordinary person who wants to become extraordinary, can we just glean, can we learn how to persevere, or is it innate in us?
My opinion, and there's a lot of contradictory opinions in the media, absolutely it is grown. Champions are grown, and we need assistance in how to grow into a champion, but they are absolutely grown, and we can grow perseverance for sure. Perseverance, for me, is three factors.
Mm-hmm.
It is about honing your purpose. That's number one.
Okay.
It is being able to wake up every morning and know what your purpose is for your achievement, for your business, for your lifetime's journey, and working out how to get there.
Okay, so let's go to that. The purpose, which is it sounds like the Simon Sinek.
Your why. Yes.
How do you get to your why? A lot of people, when I speak to them, I say, well, what's your purpose? Why are you doing this? If it's an entrepreneur, it's to put food on the table. It's not like really this, from a child, I knew I was going to whatever. It's not that kind of deep set, that's been my purpose for life. So how does, even in a sports setting, when you're playing tennis, or what's your purpose? Is it your purpose to win? What's your purpose?
So to be honest, I believe that if most human beings were really in tune with their self, with their soul's intuitive voice, they would all know their purpose. And it's very important to understand that purposes do not have to be massive.
Mm-hmm.
They can be small. They can be inspiring someone every day. They can be making someone smile. They can be feeling like you're productive in the sense that you have sold a product for R2 and bought it for R1. Wow, I came back today with more than I had in the first place. So you need to hone your purpose in a simple way. But what's so important is that you need to understand that there are very few people in the world who wake up and know very clearly, not wake up, but know very clearly what their purpose is, and they are on a mission to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Probably 5% of the population. The rest of us have a business opportunity which we feel can work. We get inspired and stimulated by that opportunity, and we have to find part of that opportunity or part of that process that makes us feel passionate. You, every single profession, every single career, every single business venture has its bad parts and its good parts. And it's about creating more good parts in your business venture, focusing, amplifying those good parts so that they make you feel excited and on a mission to get the job done every day.
Okay. So purpose was number one. Number two?
Structure.
Structure. Okay.
Very clear. I've said this many times throughout the series, and I'm going to reinforce it again. It's about looking at your daily structure and checking that your daily structure is moving forward to achieving your purpose or your mission on your journey to winning.
Okay.
Number three.
No, let's go more on structure. I want more structure on structure. Okay, so how do I create structure? How do I do that?
It's so simple.
Mm.
And talking about athletes, if anyone has played sport,
mm-hmm.
even school level, any team level, you'll remember that at school you had a schedule. You had a schedule that you had to follow for your team when the practices were, when the matches were. These days kids do early morning training. It's that simple. It is looking at your week on a Sunday night, and it is factoring in your structure every single day that at the end of the day, you can feel like it was productive, it was fulfilling, and you moved forward toward fulfilling your purpose.
Okay, so if I say that in my words, it's as simple as just creating the structure in your diary.
A schedule
in your diary. But is there anything else outside of your diary? Is it like what you do? Is it like perhaps your personal routines as well?
Absolutely. That needs to be integrated into your diary.
Okay.
And what's so important is often if your diary is only focused on achieving your purpose and you're not peppering in calming time, cleansing time, time to get inspired, whatever it is that makes you tick, then your purpose is going to feel very redundant and boring. So not only is it about productivity, but it's also about difference and variety and stimulation and calm.
Yeah, all in the structure. It's yes. Part of the structure.
Yes.
Okay, let's move to number three.
Number three is support. A support network, okay. An emotional and financial support network,
okay.
That you can draw on, because this journey of winning, of being stubborn about winning, achieving your purpose or your goal is tough. We spoke about it last time, or the time before. It is about being able to enjoy that difficult journey, and a very important part of that in order to persevere on a difficult journey is having support.
Okay, so I'm listening to this. I'm come from a poor family. It's easy for you to say. how do I glean that kind of financial support network and emotional support network in that kind of context where I come from poverty or I'm in poverty?
So, I mean, it's not an easy question, especially in those contexts. But actually, I feel in those contexts it might be easier.
Okay.
Because in those contexts, there's a very much a spirit of community, of helping one another, of when I don't have, I give to you, and when you don't have, you give to me. There's already that fundamental assumption.
Mm-hmm.
And so it
do you work with clients in that context?
Absolutely. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. So then it's actually easier in that context. And so there's already that assumption that financially and emotionally we support it together. Okay. We will this is I scratch your back, you scratch mine when I need it. Okay. Belief system. In the more affluent context, it might be a little more difficult because there's a lot of shame and lack of vulnerability around asking for what you need, whether it's emotional support, whether it's business advice, or it's financial support. And it's about really finding a community of people similar to you, have the same beliefs and values, and who are open to sharing about your struggles, being able to be vulnerable, and then asking each other for support, whatever that support might be.
Okay, and is this something, I'm just trying to just get this into a pragmatic thought. I've got purpose, I've got structure, and you spoke about this as a journey. Do I do this consciously? Or deliberately build up my support, my financial and my emotional support network? Is it a deliberate thing, or is it just a natural thing?
So for some people, it's a natural thing. This is where I'm getting all my information from. It's really analyzing and extracting from champions who've already done it.
Yeah.
But for most of us, it's not. We need to be intentional. We need to be deliberate about these three steps in order to have persistence and perseverance: purpose, structure, and a support network.
Okay, let's move on to the other side, flexibility. Tell us more about that.
Flexibility is a tough one. I think it's easier for most people to be stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
Flexibility is another level. It is our capacity to respond appropriately to many different contexts, situations, and many different people. And think about how hard that actually is. But when you are achieving your life mission or just your business venture, the goal you have and trying to get there, there are going to be very difficult, unpredictable situations along the way. And so flexibility is key. And so for me, there's again three factors that you can draw on which will really serve your ability to be flexible. And those are committing to personal growth, committing to looking at when there's difficult situations and you respond inappropriately or not as well as you could have, and committing to look and reflecting on that and how you can improve on that response for the next time, and looking at situations when you responded well and you're proud of yourself, and then showing yourself you actually have that role in your repertoire that already exists. So for all those situations in the future, you know you can draw on that role. So essentially, it's about expanding your role in your repertoire so that you have many roles to draw on for many different situations.
Make that practical for me, please.
So let's say you have a very difficult client.
Yeah.
And you have a product that you're selling, and your client, you want to share the value of your product to your client, and you're trying to share, and your client is completely disinterested in the value and just keeps telling you about what they think your product can do. And that is the absolute opposite of what you think is possible. And it's not what your product can do. And so you calm, you wait, you allow them to finish. The customer's always right. The client is always right. And then you ask questions about, so did you know that your particular product does X, Y, and Z? And do you need that? So it's very much about allowing them to voice, waiting, being really patient for your opportunity, and then asking questions about their needs and what would be useful for them.
Okay. All right. So was that number one?
Yes, that's about committing. You were trying to say, how do you expand your roles in your repertoire, make it practical?
Okay.
So just thinking about how you responded appropriately to a difficult client, now you know you have patience. Now you know you can allow your client to finish. And then now you know you have the ability to ask questions without getting totally provoked by your client.
So is it like where you start to almost analyze, so you're conscious around what's going on, and then you start to label your different behavior, then basically attribute that to yourself.
Yes.
Is like you're going, oh, look, I did that. There was patience there. I was patient. I'm generally not a patient person, but I was patient there, so I can be patient.
Precisely.
I was tolerant there. I'm generally intolerant, but I was tolerant there. So you label it and then you own that label. Is that what we're saying?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
See, I'm learning. Right. What's number two?
Number two is about having a toolbox. Having a toolbox to regulate your stress for all the different contexts you're going to be exposed to on your journey, and people and situations. Because if you start building a toolbox, which I'd like to get onto into another series, it is all about champions and their toolbox. That's actually what they have for the incredibly pressurizing environments. They take out a tool for every situation. So the first one was about committing to learning new roles for every situation. That is personal growth. And the second one is about learning a tool for every difficult situation. And that tool is very much around tolerating and regulating stress, because essentially when our stress level is low, when we're calm and clear, we all have an enormous reservoir of resource inside ourselves that we can draw on.
So what is this toolbox? I'm trying to, I mean, obviously I know it's not a real toolbox, but...
No, it is.
Is it I'm feeling stressed. These are my stress tools and I know what they are. I'm feeling... anxious. These are my anxious tools. I'm feeling overstimulated. These are my overstimulated tools. Like, what is it? And what practically are those tools? Is it like, for example, if this, then that? Like, if I'm stressed, then I go into a dark room and just sit quietly by myself. Is it that kind of stuff?
Very much so. So the value of working with athletes is they are in these high pressure, intense situations many, many times in their lives. And the pressure that they have to deal with on a daily basis in today's world is far greater than 50 years ago for a professional athlete. And they have very much their tools for anxiety, their tools for pressure, their tools for focus, their tools for self-belief.
Just Give us somebody that you know, or we will all know, a famous athlete, and give us either focus or anxiety or whatever, and give and to, for us to, when we watch them again, to see them use those tools. So give us.
So there's two very pronounced. Of course, I'm going to always draw in tennis. Mm-hmm. I promise you, I focus on a lot of different sports, but that's my love and that's my history. So there's two very famous ones who you if you follow a little bit of tennis, you'll know. The one is Novak Djokovic, and the other one is Rafael Nadal. Djokovic speaks about his greatest tool is breath, is learning how to breathe. And you'll see when he's playing, he has a big out breath before he serves. And he has that breathing technique or exercises not only on court. He speaks about it openly that he uses breathing techniques as well as a myriad of other techniques for calming, for clarity and focus. So that's Novak. And Rafael Nadal uses many specific rituals that people often mock. But those are rituals or routine of body movements that allow him or make him feel safe. And because he has that little ritual or routine of body movements in between games or in between points, he knows that as he moves into the point, he feels totally ready, totally safe and clear about what he's going to be doing.
So what is that, like bouncing the ball?
Bouncing the ball, pulling on his pants, touching his brow, and then maybe looking to where he wants to serve.
Okay. Right. So that was number?
That is your toolbox.
Toolbox.
That of was regulating stress. Yes.
Okay. Now number three.
And the last, but certainly not least, is having hope with an optimistic outlook.
Okay. So they say in business, hope isn't a strategy. So explain this to me.
So hope is a strategy. And the reason why it's a strategy is because if we wake up in the morning with no hope, mm-hmm. with the belief that we will never sell our product or we will never close a deal, then we won't even get to the office.
Okay, let's talk. We're talking about hope and optimism. Once again, pragmatically, there's somebody listening to this and they don't feel hopeful. And they're going, well, how do I become hopeful? Like, you can't just say, okay, today I'm going to be hopeful. How do you get hope? How do you become optimistic if you weren't optimistic before?
It's not an easy question. It's a very hard question. So what I found is the clients that I work with and many successful people draw on something bigger than themselves, whether they're spiritual, whether they believe in the natural forces, whether they just have magical thinking, they make themselves believe that the universe is going to surprise and delight them today. And if you can't believe that, then you need to start faking that you're positive or optimistic. And as you start to fake that maybe something will happen today, even though you're super negative, maybe things will change, then eventually you start to feel better with that hopefulness or that way of thinking, and your mindset starts to shift. That's number one. Number two is, again, cliche here, but it's about being grateful. It's about really looking at your life, making a list of everything that you're grateful for, and focus on that. Really read that over every single day until you start to see, wow, things are not that bad. Things are better for me than the neighbor, the person next door, because you are reinforcing what you have and not what you don't have.
Okay, let's now come to the reconciliation of the two, right? You've got stubbornness and flexibility. Persistence and flexibility, it reconciles into what?
It reconciles into a mindset or position or role of always learning.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what comes up on your journey, when you have the position of very clear about your purpose and being flexible about how you're getting there, you need to keep conditioning yourself to being open and looking at all situations as well as yourself and seeing what you can learn from the situation and how you can keep responding better along the way.
Okay. So this is about learners. Is that the right? We become learners. We're learning. We're observant of our situation. We're learning, and then we are applying and using that with our purpose to achieve what we want to achieve. And so we flexible. We try. We keep trying. That didn't work. We learn. We try again with that knowledge. We learn what worked. We reinforce that. Then something that goes wrong, we learn, and we just keep moving in waves till we achieve what we want to achieve.
So what you're saying boils down to the essence of what champions are about. They are really about, which is so deceiving to most of us, they are so in touch with their ordinariness, with their vulnerability, with looking at themselves in a learning, reflecting, open fashion. It's not easy. It's very hard. And it's hard for them too. And then they are able to grow into being extraordinary.
Well, thank you for those insights. And we've come to the end of this podcast series. And I just want to reiterate what you did in each podcast episode. You took two opposing, almost contradictory states of mind, and they were reconciled into a champion characteristic. And we went through six different contradictory statements and then reconciled each of those into a characteristic of a champion. For those who've perhaps forgotten some of them, can we summarize all six of them again?
Absolutely.
Make the contradictory statements and the reconciled characteristic.
For simplicity purposes, I'm going to make the contradictory statement or the secret, the actual secret, and just the quality.
Okay.
Just to simplify. Because when you start thinking about reconciliation, it's so hard to even see that in your mind. It's so abstract. It's really about mastering the two opposing qualities. It's strange that champions actually have these two opposing qualities of ordinariness and extraordinariness. But that's the essence of every secret.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one, secret one, a champion can be in two places at the same time. So when you practice being present and thinking about the future, where you're going, at the same time, you gain a perspective, which I call quantum perspective. So it keeps you moving in the right direction in the present. Secret two, a champion has a burning desire to achieve something, but is detached about the outcome. And that quality at the end is intention. So you become very intentional about your desires and you worry less about whether you get them or not, whether you achieve it or not. You focused on your intentions on a daily basis. Number three, a champion gains self-belief by embracing or accepting self-doubt. And when you can master that you're going to have to doubt yourself on this journey and that you're going to have to keep boosting your self-belief, it's not natural, then you get a courage. Not only a courage to wake up and be hopeful, but a courage to take action towards your mission. And number four, a champion relies on himself completely, but also relies on others. And when you can do that, when you can really dig deep into your own resources, as well as ask for support and create a support network, then you start to see amazing opportunities emerge in your life. And the quality is you create opportunities. You're constantly creating opportunities. Number five, a champion enjoys a difficult journey. When you can start to see the joy or the fulfillment or trusting your ability in handling a difficult situation on the journey, then you are left with a quality called not responsibility. The quality is called response-ability. You gain this ability to respond to every high and low on your journey toward achieving your mission, your purpose, your goal. And last but not least, a champion is stubborn about winning, but open-minded about getting there. And we've just spoken about it today. It is about mastering this quality of perseverance and persistence, as well as being very flexible and nimble to all the many different circumstances that come up in our lives, that come up on the journey toward your goal. And when you embrace both of those, or learn to master both of those rather, then you're left with this lovely, soft, easy state of mind called always learning, that you're going to make mistakes. You might even fail, you probably will fail, but you're going to learn and gain an immense amount from that. And then you're back on track toward achieving your mission and getting to where you want to be.
Tony Getty, that was incredibly powerful. And I'm sure you found that as powerful as I did. I'm definitely going to listen to this whole podcast series a few times. I think what I'm going to do is use the different podcasts at times when I'm perhaps feeling not like a champion and need to get my mind right and go and find the tools and understand the secrets again. I hope you've enjoyed the series as much as I have. This was a Razor's Edge podcast.